Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Yacht Rock.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Eight on this Friday morning. Ordered to return. Those are the words used. The headline, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Article by Genevieve Redston here. Kohl's employees ordered to return to Menomonee Falls office. Remote flexibility established during COVID comes to an end. I want to get into this a little bit today because we talked about this for 2 years. My contention that this was an inevitability, that more and more managers, people who run companies, are going to demand to see people in the workplace, that this flexibility, to the degree that it's occurred, with a lot of folks full on work from home, others, you know, hybrid and coming in a little bit, that was going to come to an end at some point. Another indication that it may be with a company that's headquartered right here in Southeast Wisconsin. I'll read you the first couple of lines. Kohl's corporate employees have been ordered to return to the Menomonee Falls headquarters. Yet another shakeup inside the struggling department store chain beginning October 14th. All corporate employees who live within 30 miles of the Kohl's corporate offices will be required to show up in person Monday through Thursday. New policy ends flexible and remote work arrangements established during the pandemic. And that's your neighborhood.
Yeah, that is my neighborhood. My kid learned how to drive in their parking lot.
Why? Because it was empty?
Well, that's going to fix everything for the struggling retailer.
I hardly
sales
argue that.
Sales will skyrocket.
And it's not like waste of time is not on display everywhere in every workplace, right?
Yeah, I can
find you folks wasting time here at work.
I'm indifferent when it comes to whether or not working from home is something companies want to do. I mean, they're struggling there, and I just have a hard time believing that sending these corporate workers back is going to change the trajectory of their sales and their numbers right now.
And some of these struggles are not new, right?
Right, and I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them to turn it around. I got a lot of close friends that work there.
I think just take it outside of Kohl's, and you're seeing this all across corporate America, this we're done with the work-from-home position in large part. And there was a time where, I said earlier, corporate America was trying to decide, like, hey, could we actually maybe save a ton of money? Because having buildings and having parking lots and having cafeterias and all the amenities that are now apparently expected by the younger workforce, you got to have a health club and you got to have daycare and you got to have all these things.
And?
Beanbags. Beanbags and ping pong. Got to have all that in the workplace,
gotta
right?
Got to have beanbags.
No, but like that's expensive.
It is.
So
sure.
I remain committed to this. Everyone's like, well, no, I'm more productive from home. Well, no, it's about something. It's about they're not seeing productivity because if they were, they could save a lot of money having everybody just work out of their living room.
Right.
And so it must not be working.
And everything comes back to money.
Yes.
I'm not questioning it. You're right. I mean, everything comes back to money. So they feel that this will help them. Or will you lose some employees? Will this help cut some of the weight?
You certainly will.
I mean, I can't imagine everyone's going to want to come back.
They won't. And those who have been staunchly in favor of working from home have insisted that they are more productive at home. And I think that we're talking in generalities here. I bet you there are some people who are more productive at home. Look, I'm more comfortable here. I actually spend more time working because I don't have an hour-long commute in, an hour-long commute out. I'm reachable all the time. Mm-hmm. So people who do it right, yes, I absolutely acknowledge that there probably are some folks who are very productive at home and do work from home fine. Or those who find the hybrid position. You're a valuable person, maybe someone who's middle-aged, man or woman who's got young kids at home and somebody has to, you know, manage that. If you give them the flexibility of that hybrid position, or you can work from home in the morning, or you know, what have you, that you then don't lose that institutional knowledge, that good person who you hope to retain, because they say, look, I can't afford the childcare, or I can't afford whatever. So I think there are benefits. I'm not questioning that. I just think if you look at the broad picture, you have more and more people who lead corporate America who suggest, I need to have people in the workplace. It's not working.
Just to play devil's advocate, what? So you feel better seeing three people talking around the water cooler before they go sit down at their desk?
Sitting upstairs with the laptop and watching TV.
In the conference room?
Right.
that they're actually sitting next to each other versus staring at each other via a monitor.
Well, at least you can tell.
Yeah, I suppose.
Who,
it's fair. That's fair.
Who whacked those workers for having the device that moves the mouse? That Wells Fargo? It was Wells Fargo. They whacked like a dozen people because they found out they were not only so lazy at home to not really be working and at least once in a while stop by the computer. They didn't want to do that. They bought a device that moved the mouse every now and then or simulated keyboard things because they couldn't even be bothered to pretend to be working at home.
I mean, hey, if they could just use that power to be able to do things. You'd imagine if they applied that ingenuity to what they're actually having to do at work.
Right, yes. They worked very hard at figuring out how not to work.
Yeah.
Laziness is the mother of invention.
Yeah, it's brilliant. The cynic, and I, you know, you hate being a cynic and stuff like that, but
love being a cynic.
I really don't.
You relish it.
But the idea of, okay, all these people come back and all of these employees in all these different levels of departments are all of a sudden going to help turn around the company. I mean, isn't it more of a leadership thing versus who is going to be sitting on the third floor?
Coaches versus the players.
See, here we go again. Right. Why am I always siding with the man? Because
yeah, you do.
In this relationship, I'm the player. You're the player.
Yeah.
Debbie, we're the players.
Right.
Right, but why am I always siding with the team or always siding with the man? I don't know what that is. Maybe it's, I guess for some folks, it's a jealousy thing. They look over and say, oh, here's no Schindlinden over there with his work from home. Meanwhile, I'm here every day. Yeah. Maybe it's some of that. I'd rather be here. I don't want to work from home.
And I'm not suggesting by any means, oh, I can't believe they're sending him back to work. You do you, Coles. If it works, great. I question whether
sort of panacea.
Coles has been struggling for not just a few months now. This has been a long fight trying to stay afloat and stay strong and trying different things. And there's been some creative strategies there, right, that have worked and some have not.
They're trying everything.
Yes, they're trying
everything.
They're
throwing everything against the wall.
Which is great. And like we said earlier, rooting for them. Want them to succeed. There's one right here. I've walked into that one just to get it. You know, I've purchased a thing from that Coles right here downtown.
Yeah, right here downtown.
So want nothing but the best for them. I just don't know if all of a sudden when you have workers 4 days a week, Look at that.
Everybody's here.
The department stores are packed now.
Yeah, well, you mentioned leadership, and I think it's hard to lead a staff in absentia, right? It's hard to lead a staff remotely. Zoom calls are only so much, right? Get everybody on the Teams call. Okay, everybody's got a screen, you know? Like, I know what I do when I'm on those calls. Got one earbud in, I'm half listening, but I'm doing my other work or I'm doing whatever else, you know, or if you're at home, you're walking around, I'm doing the dishes, kind of half listening. I just think it's a matter of, and the other thing is what you lose when you have people not in the same space is like, it always bugs me when somebody from in the office will text me when I'm here. Like, I'm here. I'll come up and see you. Let's face-to-face talk it out. Or you never know who you're going to bump into. You walk into someone and you say, hey, something I wanted to ask you about next week.
Yep.
Or whatever. You miss that spontaneity and that creativity of when you're together.
From the 414, I agree with Coles. When I was working, Gen Z was on their phones constantly. Can you imagine if they're at home? And then here's one from the 920. Short the stock. Talent will all leave.
It's possible as well. We'll see how it plays out because, like, who's holding the cards here? A lot of folks think we're on the front end of a recession, if not having had a mini recession
already. I feel like we've been talking about that for a long time.
Right. Who holds the cards? There was a while there post-COVID where everybody needed people. Workers could call their shot and say, yeah, I'll stay, but I'm work from home.
Yeah.
And they had to say okay, or they were going to lose people. Now that you see companies paring back a little bit, you see layoffs, particularly in the tech sector, does the company now hold more of the cards to say, all right, adios, that's fine, and good luck finding something else?
The pendulum is swinging.
I did get a text from a number I didn't recognize the other day offering me remote work.
Oh.
So I should probably answer that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It seems legit.
Give them a call. Give them your information.
I'm with you, Eric. I hope it works out. I love Coles.
Absolutely.
I want him to be successful. And maybe this is something that puts them back down that road. 820 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Deb, sometimes you work from home, but it's usually just a matter of logistics. Like,
right. I mean, usually the afternoons I'm, you know, back and forth twice a day.
Well, we always prefer to see you in the morning.
Yes, yes. So that's why I show my face and your face in the morning. So, boo!
It's a lovely face.
Oh, thank you. But okay, so what we've got going on the roads right now, we've got an accident on westbound 94 at Mitchell Boulevard. That one is off on the right shoulder. A minimal delay coming out of the stadium with that one. We've got a crash on 94 southbound right about at Layton. We got cars on both shoulders there. That's on the southbound side. Westbound 894, your usual backups from 27th Street all the way to about 68th. And a couple of broken down vehicles that happened around on 894 southbound right around Oklahoma Avenue. Looks like they are out of traffic, and I'm not seeing too many delays with that one. The other delay is going to be on northbound 43, right around the North Avenue curve all the way up to Keefe. I'm Debbie Lozaga with your WTMJ Johnson & Sons Paving Time Saver Traffic.
The biggest names in the basketball world.
Dame Dollar Lillard.
Having fun and honest conversations.
He puts it in the shoe, right? And sets the tone for brothers and sisters and family.
Every week, Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests on Thanalysis Show. Presented by Curbless Ready-to-Drink Cocktails.
Fantastic.
Find Thanalysis Show on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And on YouTube by searching Thanalysis Show.
Ooh, you know what we should do this weekend? Clean out the storage closet. You know what we should do this weekend? Let's Saturday get everybody out. We got to clean out that garage. Good times? You think? You like that? Like that proposal?
Are you living in my brain?
Right. Vince Petrano right here for Inspired Closets Milwaukee, and a great reason to get some help and a great offer on the table for you right now. All of those things sound super boring, getting organized. You know why Katie and Dan, wife-husband team here local, love to see you out in the showroom in Waukesha or pay you an in-home visit? Because they are passionate about organization. They make it fun and beautiful. It's not just about tidying up that space. It's about transforming your life. That is Inspired. And reducing clutter can reduce stress. Inspired Closets home solutions are functional and beautiful. A lot of companies do closets. This is why I talk about Inspired Closets Milwaukee, because they're local. Katie and Dan and their team will listen to you. What are your frustrations? What are your needs? What's your budget? Obviously, that's important. Then they can custom design solutions, and with their amazing computer software, you'll see exactly what your project will look like before you buy. And easier than ever to afford. Right now, you can save 10% off the cost of your project, plus finance it over 12 months for free. You won't pay a dime of interest over that year. When you tell them Vinny sent you, the deal runs through July 31st, so we got to move now. Inspired days start in Inspired Closets. InspiredClosetsMilwaukee.com. Opening ceremony for the Olympic Games in Paris, now 3.5 hours away, kicks off in earnest at noon our time. NBC will have live coverage if you want to watch in real time. That starts at 11 o'clock on Channel 4. If you want it all wrapped up nice, neat, and tied with a ribbon, they start that primetime coverage at 6:30.
And that's more worth it, right? Like, when yeah, you know it's all like, edited.
Right. And it's not like a sporting event where you can't know what the outcome is. You know, it's more just a collective enjoying watching it happen.
Every country you have to wait through.
Some folks will watch both. I'm telling you, man, they're passionate Olympics fans and they love
it. And now Ecuador.
Right.
All right, we're only in the
East. Look what they're wearing.
Right. Lots of issues, though, ahead of this. There has been some type of sabotage on the train lines heading in and around Paris.
French authorities are calling this a massive and coordinated attack on this country's railway system. Three fires were set along rail lines to the north and the east of Paris. It could be that with so much security in place here in the capital that these attackers found easier targets elsewhere. It's caused massive delays and cancellations. Nearly a million people will have been affected through the weekend.
Yeah, so that's an unfortunate situation that they're dealing with now. And with the opening ceremonies expected to be outside, you can bet there were a lot of people that were intending to see some of that, to line along the River Seine, to see the athletes parade through, if you will, on boats that they won't see now.
Can you imagine the boatload of money that you spend on that trip of a lifetime? And we just talked to our friends here from Mequon who are over there,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Husband and wife that always wanted to go to the Olympic Games, bucket list item. You know, like if you're somebody like that who's over there and said, you know what, why don't we stay?
Yeah.
Why don't we stay in London? And then, you know, like we can take the train across a couple times and you can't even get into country.
Fires were set in signal boxes. Lines were cut on high-speed rail lines. It's even affected Eurostar. So there's a little bit of concern at the moment. Okay, is this, what was this coordinated attack? Who is behind it? And why now? You know, what was the next plan? Was it, quote-unquote, a prank just to screw everything up and disrupt? Or was this leading to something else that's being planned?
Test authorities, run. Yeah, distraction. Right. Something else right. that there's more, that would indicate there's more ahead.
Yeah, a scrambling on that right now. 12:30 is the start of the ceremony. You mentioned our friends from Mequon who joined the program. We also know a guy named Chris Sadler who is there from Brookfield. He has been watching. He's a big rugby guy. Coaches rugby and is part of rugby here. He's been to World Cups and he's bucket list item for him. And he says, he told me that it's all French people now cramming into those places at the moment.
The stadium was absolutely full. It was a sellout. And for the most part, they were French rugby fans. And what I thought was pretty interesting, there's a man by Antoine Dupont who crossed over from the 15s game to play sevens. And he has turned the country into a kind of a fan of rugby sevens.
Yes, rugby sevens is just a smaller, faster game, and he says that like the French just absolutely love it. So it's been pretty cool for him to see that. I also did have to ask him, since he was there, a very important question. Please tell me you've seen somebody like from Cudahy or something like that.
You know, I haven't. I did see somebody wearing an old Packers jersey with a name on it that we won't talk about here.
I can only imagine. It must be number 12. That's the only thing I can think of.
It was number 12. I didn't have the heart to go up to him and say, take that jersey off.
Why? Everybody loves Lynn Dickey.
I was waiting for that. Well done.
Remember when Chicago made a play for the summer games?
Oh, I was rooting so hard for that.
2016, they yes. thought they were going to get the Chicago games.
I was all in on that.
Because could you imagine?
We could have gone down and seen some of that. There is actually talk of how Milwaukee may have been able to play a part.
They were talking about some of the cycling mm-hmm. events were maybe going to play out in Wisconsin.
That was my bucket list. I told you, a bucket list for me is to see any type of Olympic game, handball, pentathlon, whatever that modern day pentathlon is, something.
You're bringing up the equestrian / fencing / laser tag event.
So the modern pentathlon, which by the way is taking place next week in the Olympics, the five events are,
if you hadn't produced this journalistic evidence of this happening, I seriously would have thought you made this up.
The five events in this Olympic event: fencing, okay, swimming, horse riding, pistol shooting.
Wasn't there lasers?
And
the Three Musketeers. Oh my gosh.
And that's where it kind of stems from, Debbie, is way back in the day, if you know, cavalry stuck behind enemy lines had to know how to do all this stuff. So yeah, it's an actual event. Modern pentathlon. Check it out.
You want to watch it live, 11 o'clock our time on Channel 4. Primetime coverage of the opening ceremony, 6:30 p.m. tonight on NBC. The vice president was here, earlier this week? What, these weeks are feeling long. Right? That's just earlier this week. Tuesday. So when she was leaving, I saw, right after she was gone, a huge C-17
awesome.
Globemaster cargo plane leaving Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. So these massive military transport planes can actually fit up to 10 armored Humvees, up to 100 paratroopers inside with all their gear. They're huge, and you don't really fully appreciate it till you see one up close. Or even better, get inside. And you can do that still through the weekend at EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Looks like the whale's belly in Pinocchio. Visitors to EAA climbed the ramp inside this massive cargo jet.
It reminded me of when you're like in a house before they put the edge of the walls on.
In the cockpit, there was a bunch of like buttons and the thing. And
there's like controls not only in front, but also behind and on the ceiling.
So it looks like that would probably be a pretty tough job.
Yeah.
Captain CJ Fotinos. I'm an instructor pilot on the C-17. One of the biggest, most active air transport aircraft right now in the Air Force.
I know it's probably not your area, but how does this thing get off the ground?
Oh my gosh, very powerful engines. And the miraculous thing is we need 3,500 feet of runway. That's it.
Which makes it versatile, agile, and needed all over the world.
The Arctic Circle, basically landing on an ice runway short. So that one was pretty cool to see. And then we get to go into dirt airfields. So we can land on dirt.
It sounds like a no thank you for me.
Yeah, I don't know. That makes for some cool photos.
And yet nothing cooler than dropping this big boy into Oshkosh, Wisconsin for aviation's biggest week of the year.
Right? I got to fly it in here on Friday. So that was like a life goal to fly it into Oshkosh. It's a big deal. There's a lot of eyes here. So to be able to fly this beast in is great.
At EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, Vince Vetrano, WTMJ News. You ever drive a car that you thought was, like, too big?
A
big old, like, I learned how to drive on a Caprice Classic station wagon, an old Chevy, and that thing was a boat. Imagine flying this thing.
Be awesome.
Captain Fotinos, thank her, and her father apparently was Air Guard Wisconsin, so she spent some time here as a kid as well. So a particular honor for her to fly, as she called it, that beast into EAA. Wisconsin's Afternoon News, live at EAA Air Venture today at 3 p.m.
Yeah, and spanning the state before them at 1.
8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Live, baby, yeah. 8:47 on this Friday morning, Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead, Vince Vetrano, Debbie Lazico with you. Adam's on news, and Greg Pancake Hill produces this program.
Yeah.
We talk every day after the show. What are we doing tomorrow? What do we got coming up for the rest of the week? Some things make it into the rundown. Others do not. And so we assign Greg Pancake Hill to whip up a little something with the leftovers in this piece we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Do you want to hear it again?
Absolutely.
You good?
Okay, I am good.
Keep it going.
Good. All right, here it is. Oh, it's going to go. You trust me.
Who did this, Eric?
Doesn't it make you smile? It will for the next couple of days and weeks. All right, it's finally here. The Olympics are back, my friends, just hours away from the opening ceremony. So, listen, I watched the Olympics, but I wouldn't consider myself like an Olympics guy. You know, I'm like the casual Olympics watcher. I'm watching
it. I'll watch this.
Exactly, but I want to watch that, it's usually the medal game, like the gold medal, whatever it is. But I think that's going to change this year. But before I get to that, Vince Vetrano, what's your favorite Olympic event to watch?
In the summer games?
Yes.
I suppose probably gymnastics. There's a lot of drama, a lot of storylines, and the personalities are usually good.
Wrong. Eric Bilstead, what's your favorite Olympic event to watch?
Swimming is always kind of entertaining.
Also incorrect. Debbie, what's your favorite Olympic event to watch?
I know where you're going, but I'm going to say taekwondo.
It's also wrong. You're all wrong, but I'll give you a break. It's because you haven't seen your favorite Olympic sport yet, because it's making its debut this year in Paris next Thursday. What is the event called? It's called breaking, but you all know it as breakdancing. All right. For the first time ever. No, are you okay?
You're making this up.
I'm not making this up. This is actually happening. It's called breakdancing. If you're watching on the live here, you too, if for people who can't watch on the live stream, will watch this. This is an example of breakdancing right here. This is what it's going to look like. So describe to people what we're looking at.
Okay, I got a green mat. It appears to be official. Large crowd there. And on this mat is some solo breakdancing.
And judges. There's people standing and watching.
And there is. Yes, which will now be referred to, by the way, as we move forward through this discussion. It's called breaking, because that's what it's called in breaking circles, and we need to respect it, call it what it is. If you call it breakdancing, you're a nerd. Okay? So it's breaking. All right, good.
Fine.
So this was what's great about this. I looked this up, and there was a super informative video.
Breaking is a one-on-one battle where athletes are judged on their dance moves.
Yeah, they are. All right. Some fundamentals we need to get out of the way. There's some vocabulary to go over. A competition between two breakers is called a battle, which is the most ancient Greek OG Olympic I've ever heard of. So this definitely legitimizes it being a sport. So how is it scored? Judges rank battle performances on five categories. That goes musicality, vocabulary, originality, technique, and execution. Each category taking up 20% of the total score. Yes, you look inquisitive.
Well, musicality. What was the second one?
Vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
So it's like the move. Words. It's the moves you do. Each move has a name. Think of skateboarding, right? Have you ever heard of an ollie? 50,
yeah, sure.
50 backslide tail grab.
Yeah.
That's a move. Complete gibberish to people who aren't in the game, but that's what a move is. Same thing. These moves, they're called like frozen chair. They're called like up downs, dup downs. Like it's a whole lingo thing. There's a whole community behind it. It's pretty cool.
Do they mention them while they dance?
That'd be sweet if they shouted it out. They absolutely do not, though.
Here comes the chair freeze.
Here comes the chair freeze. That would be fantastic. But no, they don't. It's up to the judges to know. Again, if you're judging, you probably know what's going on. Battles are best of three rounds. Each round is called a throwdown, which, again, pretty cool. Each breaker has 60 seconds to put together their best throwdown that they can. And the best part is athletes can be penalized for misbehavior.
Are you not entertained?
I can't wait. To watch this.
Misbehavior?
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. It's kind of like they note in the video that it was New York, like urban site New York is where breakdancing started, right? Old hip-hop of the 80s. This is just a way to dance to it, and it became competitive, much like rap battles. So if you're, like, stepping up on someone, if you've ever seen the Step Up movies, it gets pretty competitive.
I like that it's a battle, though. I like that it's one-on-one, and then a person advances.
Correct.
Because I like when they're interacting, and then you see, all right, do you one-up this other person? I also like the breakdown. What did you say? So there was...
So it's a battle, but each round is called a throwdown.
Yes, so like in tennis, you have point, game, set, match.
Correct.
And here you have
throwdowns to win the battle. It's a best of three is the way each round goes. All right, so what's the best part is it's making its Olympic debut in Paris this year. It made its junior Olympics debut back in 2018 in Buenos Aires, and this is electric.
Buenos Aires, 2018, Summer Youth Olympic Games. Break it, Bruno! Let's do this! Let's go!
Señoras y señores! Quiero que vamos a Argentina! Quiero escuchar ese ruido!
It's Buenos Aires. In Buenos Aires, everybody.
Now, really nice touch.
Oh, really nice touch there. There's commentary?
There's commentary also.
Do they get a medal also?
Who get a medal?
The guys that are yelling?
They're part of like the organization. They're not each breaker doesn't have a like hype
entourage
man. Yeah, no, they don't. That would be sick.
I could do that one Olympic.
That would be nice. Maybe that's where the evolution of the sport goes. You bring in another player, you bring in a hype man type deal. And again, yes, like I mentioned, there is commentary, as you pointed out, Vince. Here we go.
Emma qualified in fifth place, so she's done amazingly well to make it through to these finals.
Bitch, it makes it so much better. So it gets even better, right? Most importantly, you can watch, and this might be my favorite part, the entire competition is done in 2 days. The whole thing, the whole medal competition. Women battle on the 9th of August, men battle on the 10th, medals given out same day, all wrapping up in about 5 hours. So I will take a half work day to determine who gets an Olympic medal in this sport. If you'd like to watch, 9 a.m. Breaking starts each day, Friday, Saturday, ends about 2:30, solid half work day. USA's representatives Jeffrey Lewis, Logan Erta, and Sunny Choi, and this is the digging I did, the one thing I could find on Sunny Choi, she left a six-figure job at Estee Lauder to pursue breaking full-time. The stakes couldn't be any higher.
I wish Casas was still around.
He might be. If you bring Casas out of retirement, be like, hey, you want to call this? Can you imagine Mike Tirico on the breaking call? So tell me, are you going to watch this or are you absolutely going to watch breaking?
I will go absolutely.
Ditto. Yep, absolutely.
Right. Welcome to your new favorite Olympic sport. It's breaking.
One more time before 9 o'clock, Deb.
Okay, no, you're not going to do my hype man thing? Come on. Scream in the background. Okay, never mind. 41 southbound.
Debbie Lazica going to take you out on the road. Let's go, D! WTMJ forecast is a good one. It's sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. 81 degrees, your high temp today under sunny skies. A few degrees cooler near the lake. Clear skies tonight. A bit chilly, particularly if you are along Lake Michigan. Low down to 64. Mostly sunny skies on Saturday. High 83 and 86, your high on Sunday, with a little more humidity and a slight chance of a storm in the afternoon. WTMJ's Political Power Hour up next.